I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that out loud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
We are back. So this is our first episode back after a break of, what, a month and a half?
Honestly, it's like, it's been a long time.
We shouldn't have left you.
Without a dope beat to step to. I know, we just did that. But yeah, it's been like, it feels like 2 months, but it's been a month. Is that it?
I think a month and a half. Anyways, the point is, it's been too long. You would never know, thanks to the magic of podcasting, since we released an episode that we recorded before the break a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But you're this welcome. Is actually the first episode back after our little hiatus. But before we came back, we actually had a conversation about where we're at with the podcast and where we want to go. We were reflecting on how much has changed for us since we started this podcast, because when we started, we both worked in white dominated places. We both felt muzzled in a lot of the spaces we were in. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, like, I definitely, I didn't think that I had the space or the room. And this place has been like, what we've created together has been the opposite of that. Because we're not white. We're talking about shit that is decidedly racialized and classed and all the things. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So having this space where we spoke honestly about what we felt and believed as queer women of color was really radical and really vulnerable for us. And I remember us even being worried about the backlash that we might get for talking about some of these things. And we have gotten a little bit, mostly from white women. There was this one black man on our Instagram one time. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're not going into that shit. But you know, you're welcome to the people that know who they are. But anyways, we digress.
Yes. So a lot has changed for us, because now saying these kinds of things and doing this kind of work, it's our whole career.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've like found like entire lanes since starting this podcast, which is kind of wild, right?
Yeah. And a lot's changed in my life. So I'm rarely in spaces now where I feel like I have to compromise my voice. Do you feel the same way?
I think so. I definitely think so. I'm decidedly like inserting myself in places that I choose. There's so much more autonomy. Like, I don't know about you, but with the podcast, it like created the mental space for me to imagine myself literally being in. And then like, here we are, but it's just been 2 years.
Yeah.
And like you said, a lot has changed, like work-wise, where I think, I mean, I could speak for both of us. I think that like where we're just at in life, in career, in vision, all of that.
Yeah. This is the impetus for a lot of change in our lives. So anyway, we talked about what we could do to switch things up a bit, to stay true to our intentions with the podcast, but also get back into a place where it felt new and vulnerable and risky, because we had gotten quite comfortable with what we were doing. And there's nothing wrong with comfortable. I'm glad that we've gotten to that place where we're not so afraid of backlash and that kind of thing, but we felt like we wanted to get back to some of that vulnerability that for us, I think, created a lot of magic at the beginning.
Yeah, it's like, let's do the shit that scares us.
Yeah.
A little bit more, you know.
So we decided we wanted to go deeper into our vulnerabilities with each other and really center that around our friendship and our intimacy, because that's always been the heart of the podcast. In each episode, we're going to be focusing around a question, something that we really want to ask each other and explore together. So the question for this episode is, are you afraid to fight with your friends?
It's just like, even you saying the question out loud stresses me out. Like, it makes me feel types of ways. So I'm happy that we're getting into it, because it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but we want to talk about it. It's going to be good.
Yeah. It was actually born from an IG live because you said that you didn't really need to tell your close friends when we've hurt you because you trust us enough to know that we didn't do it intentionally. And I asked you, okay, but do you trust us enough to let us know when we did hurt you?
And I looked at you like, why are you fucking saying this shit to me on a live, putting my shit out there, trifling? That's what I said with my eyes. I'm pretty sure that's the energy that I gave, but I probably like laughed like, oh girl, no.
I remember distinctly you said, oh, this IG live is over. I need to go journal.
Yeah, I would say that shit. I did say that.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that people who were there responded to it as well. And I did as well because I have been afraid to fight with my friends. And I still am. Like, I like to say that I'm comfortable with conflict with my friends. Mm-hmm. And I am sometimes and in certain relationships, but there's still a lot that I am afraid of. Let's just dive in. Do you want like the really hard question first, or do you want to ease into it?
Hard question first, because it's kind of like, yeah, I was going to make an analogy. It's like, never mind. You just want to like soothe it afterwards. I was going to say, it's like when you get like a sting of something, you need a little bit of balm afterwards. So let's go hard first.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh man, so I'm actually scared. Oh, you're making me sweat, bitch. What the?
Okay, it's okay. We're in this together.
Let me take my drink of water before you roast me and make me have to spill my motherfucking guts on the airwaves.
And it's not just you. This goes both ways. We can both answer these questions.
All right.
Okay. Be in the hot seat. Don't worry.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm not calling you out specifically.
You're calling me in. Just
yes, I'm calling you in.
Thank you. I'm leaning in. Here I go. Okay, I'm ready.
So why haven't you told me directly when I've hurt you or let you down in our friendship?
I mean, it's like, okay, there's multiple, this is about you and me. This isn't about abstract people. This makes it more difficult because you could talk about.
I know. That's why I asked you if you wanted the hard question first or if you wanted to warm up.
I think it's like. Well, my original answer that I said on the IG live still kind of stands. It's like, I know you and I like there's a part of me that's like, even if it did sting or something that you did, like I took a type of way. There's a part of me that maybe feels like, oh, that's Lala. Like I just chalk it up to like, I don't want to be like it's a personality thing or like that's just your way. But kind of that, like, I accept you for who you are. And like sometimes the way, so I'm going to tell you like a thing that you do sometimes that makes me go, that makes me feel a type of way. But I just like, I'm like, that's Lala. Like she won't do that shit. Is like, you have the most, you're a lovely, I love you so much. But when you don't understand something or you don't know something, the face you make is like the biggest judgment face of all fucking time. And if there's one thing that I'm scared of, it's being misunderstood. Mm. That's a huge, I don't know why it's, I think, read about it in my chart, bitch. You've probably seen it. You probably read it already. You probably know. But when I have in instances where I'm trying to tell you something and maybe I'm not like, getting the words out, I'm getting flustered, I'm getting whatever. And the face that you might make, it can make me feel so dejected. Mm. But I have in my mind, the way that I process that is like, I don't know, maybe I just like assume all of the responsibility of like, oh, Nick, that's you. Like, she's not rejecting you. Cause I know you're not rejecting me. Like, I know that like the way that you process is sometimes with your face. Like sometimes it's like that present, right? And like, I know you enough to know that you're not doing it intentionally. That being said, there's also a part of it that's like not wanting to make something out of nothing or not wanting to like cause a stink unnecessarily where it's like, I don't know, like have you ever raised something with someone and then like regretted it because it just didn't go the way that, you know, you're like, oh, you know, never mind, actually, you're not getting it. Or like maybe I'm causing more attention to this thing than actually is needed. And so yeah, it's like on one hand I know you and I love you and I know you don't do things to me with the intention of hurting me, and on the other hand it's like, is it that big of a deal? I mean, I would say if it was an egregious thing, which, like, frankly would shock me. Like, I don't know if I would actually be able to process that. Well, it's true because I have so much trust in our relationship and I, like, love you and I know you love me. So it's, like, it's almost hard for me to imagine you hurting me in a way that was so, like, I don't care. Like, I don't give a shit if I hurt Nick, right? You know what I mean? So to me, it's, like, maybe things that are short of that, I'm just kind of like, that's whatever. Like, that's kind of my approach to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
That totally makes sense. I mean, it makes sense on both sides that, like, part of it is you're just trying to, like, I don't know, accept me and, like, let me be who I am and trust that I don't have bad intentions because you know me and us well enough to know that I don't. And it sounded like there was also maybe a part in it for you that was maybe a little bit of, like, self-judgment around, like, am I too much or am I too sensitive or yes. something like that?
Yes, that last part. Girl, we had a whole episode on sensitivity and, like, as a kid, I mean, both of us, I think, felt this way growing up where it's, like, feeling like your emotions are too much, feeling like you need to get thicker skin. And I think that I have pretty thick skin. Not that that's, like, a badge of honor, but I think I actually do. So sometimes when things get too close, I'm just like, girl, you've experienced worse. Like, I kind of just brush it off and maybe minimize the impact of what it is. So, like, there is that bit of internalization of, like, it's been worse. It's not that bad. And by that bad, it's like there's a difference in my mind between this person's disrespecting me and, like, this is uncomfortable for a minute, but, like, it's such a transient, like, experience that it's not enough to warrant, like, a, hey, I want to sit down and talk to you about this thing, you know?
Yeah, and I totally get that because I am the same way where, like, there's a lot of things that I keep to myself in our friendship and more generally because I'm like, well, I'm just being too sensitive or I know they didn't mean it like that. But, you know, like, that was really helpful.
I will.
First I want to say... That was really helpful because now I know that. And so I can be more aware of, like, what my face looks like when I talk to you as much as I can. Sometimes I just, like, am not aware. And I know that people can misread my facial expressions. Because a lot of times I think the look, like, when you were like, if something is not making sense or if I don't understand it, like, me, Lala, like, and that I think happens a lot. I don't understand.
No,
and
I know.
It's not
exactly
to do with, like, you know, communicating badly or anything like that.
Yes.
But it's so helpful to know that because I would be so deeply encouraging of you to tell me when that's happening because then I can assure you, I can be like, oh, what I was thinking was this. And we can have that in that moment together. Then you don't have to come away feeling like, you know, was what I misunderstood or like, what was she thinking or whatever? Because we can just talk about it and then you'll know.
True. I was going to, so two things to respond to what you just said, because it's like, I appreciate the graciousness of like, yo, I do want to know if I'm, you know, if I'm making if there's a thing that I'm doing that's like signaling to you something that I'm not trying to that I say, it's like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I don't want you to have to change the way that you process or the way that you would naturally communicate, especially if that way of doing things is something that is like, you feel comfortable. So you're able to be like, oh, if I don't know something, I'm able to be like, I don't fucking know. And you can like be as, I don't know, as you need to be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it. I never want to like control anyone, and I know you're not saying that that's what this is, but there's a part of me that's like, you know, in asking for or letting somebody know like, hey, this has harmed me, I guess there's the root of it is you hope that that person comes to that conclusion on their own, and when you have to take that risk and ask them to like be mindful, you're like, oh, I don't want to like put them out or like I don't want to like be too much, and so there that is that tension, you know.
There is, totally. And I worry about the same thing, but I would also say like, so one of my analogies for why I think it's really important to address things in the relationship directly and not just sort of like let things go all the time is like, if somebody's walking, imagine they're like getting in your space and they're just like swinging their fist back and forth and they're like hitting you. So either you can ask them to stop or like put up your hand and stop them. Or if you don't do that, you're either going to keep getting punched or you're going to need to take some steps back to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And I think when we don't address these hurts in relationships, either we're continuing to get hit, you know, even though maybe it's accidental, it still hurts, or we distance ourselves to try to protect ourselves. And then we lose out on so much intimacy. Cause like, again, like I already feel closer to you just knowing that that's how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's, I never think about like the, almost like the compounded effect of, like you said, like the arms flailing and just getting punched. It's like, well, that means that sometimes you're just like bracing yourself for the punch, or you're ducking all the time and you have like defense mechanisms up, or you're always taking, you're over accountable and taking too much responsibility for something, when in actuality, it's like that person might be doing that to a lot of other people, and like they should know in general, maybe like this is how you're coming across or whatever. So I appreciate that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now I'm hungry for what you need to tell me, because because it feels weird. Like this is such a, like a, this is a great first go at our new format. I want to say that because this is different than what we normally do. I think a lot of, like, we're already agreeing with each other a lot. Yeah. Like we always are very agreeable, you know, because we like share similar values and all of that. But this is uncomfortable, right? Like yeah. Part of what we had talked about when we first started Scene was like wanting folks to be a fly on the wall and for us to just like be who we are. And like, this is that extra layer. So I just want to like say that this is uncomfortable before you mollywop me. Go.
Okay. Yes, this is uncomfortable, but in a great way.
Yeah,
I think I live for this stuff. Okay. So it's interesting because I have a similar fear. I'm like, well, I don't want to say this to you and then have you feel like you can't be who you are. You change who you are because it's something that I love about you.
Oh my God. No, it's going to be like a core trait of my personality.
No. Well,
sorry. Yes, sorry. Go. No. Please.
Again, it's about my sensitivity. So the reason, one of the reasons why I surround myself with so many Aquarii.
Is that us? Is that what we call it? Aquarius. It's Aquarius.
Sinead always says Aquarii. Yes, so many Aquarians. If Drew's listening, they've like very much cringe. One of the reasons I surround myself with so many Aquarians is that I love your sense of humor. And I love being roasted by you.
Oh, no.
And oh, no. I'm very sensitive. So there's moments where I'm like, my feelings. But it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I've never said anything to you because A, I don't want you to stop doing it because I love that about you. And also like, even in moments where I'm sensitive about it, 99% of the time, I also think it's funny. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'll just say nothing because I would rather just swallow the times that I actually am hurt by it to avoid the possibility that you'll stop doing it.
Oh, man. So I'm smiling not because this brings me pleasure or anything like that, but because it's like I know that about myself. Like I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like there's a fine line between like when people are ready to like just, you know, fucking get roasted, which is every day in my household for people with me. And I totally understand that sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's too much, sometimes it could be like, yo, you're skirting too far into the truth and you're laughing at it, and that can be a lot. Like that's not, or it's just like insensitive or whatever. So like it helps me, but I also am like, fuck, like I wanna know, like maybe my curiosity is like, what are the topics? Or is it like, is it a specific, like just sometimes you're not in a mood, or sometimes it's like what I'm roasting, what I'm joking about is like not a fucking laughing matter. Cause I think that that helps me understand what you need from me. Cause what I don't want is for you to, yeah, feel like, yo, she just doesn't take my shit seriously, or she's like mocking me, or she's like poking at a thing that I actually am quite sensitive about, you know?
Yeah, I think Well, one that I don't even think it's happened anytime recently, because I feel like we both have more of an understanding of this now, is like chronic illness stuff. Because I think like earlier in our friendship, before I had like my big health crisis a couple years ago, I had still like chronic illness stuff, but I hadn't like named it as that. So yeah, you didn't really have that understanding of me. And so I remember there being like a couple times where, you know, it's jokes along the lines of like, you know, me being a grandma or whatever. Like, you know, it's like that hits home, because it's like, yeah, I have like the body of like an 86-year-old, and it's like very upsetting. But I don't feel like that's happened anytime recently, because I think now we've talked about my chronic illness so much that like I feel like you get that. I don't know if there's ever like a full like topic that I always feel that way about. Like I can kind of remember sometimes, I'm not 100% sure, because I was going to say appearance, but it's not even necessarily that. I just know that like I was bullied a lot as a kid, and have like kind of lingering insecurities around sort of sometimes people watching me and just thinking, you know, that I'm whatever, ridiculous or whatever. But yeah, I don't think it, like, I don't think that topic is like uniformly off limits for me. Like I still laugh all the time about you roasting me about my belt
bag. I was just gonna break that up. I'm sorry. I was gonna say, is it the belt bag?
I still find that so funny, and I have never felt hurt by it. Listen, partly because I believe so strongly in you, how much I love my belt bags.
We had conviction, and also at the end of the day, you were fucking right, because guess what I ended up doing? Buying a motherfucking belt bag.
Not that long after you started roasting me.
I know, and I wear that gloriously with pride all throughout them streets where I live. So really, we should go back, rewrite history. You're a trendsetter. Nick was wrong. She's a Muppet, right? Like that's that's what's up. Really?
Yes. But no, so that never hurt my feelings. So again, it's like, I don't want you to now like be like, oh, I can never like roast you about your questionable fashion choices. Like keep them coming.
All right.
But maybe in the future, like if something is hurting my feelings, I'll be like,
knock it off.
Okay, enough. Say something nice to me.
Yeah.
Compliment me.
Honestly, like I really appreciate you saying that, and even just like that generosity of like letting me know when it's enough, because if you were to tell me that, yo, that's enough, knock it off, say something nice about me, I would do that. Like that wouldn't deter me. I'd be like, yo, sorry, did I fuck it up? Like I think that would actually, it's like the invitation for me to be like, hey, I really was kidding about that thing, for me to correct that. And it's like, I would really appreciate to be given that opportunity. If there was something that I was saying that was like crossing that boundary, for you to be like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Enough. Like even that to me is like, okay, girl, moving on. It's fine. You know, like I'm happy with that. Like that makes me feel like I'm able to show up for you and still maintain our friendship in the way that it is, which is like fun, you know?
Exactly. And like I feel the same way, that you know, if the look on my face or something that I'm saying or doing is making you feel some kind of way, I'd really love for you to just tell me, and then we can address it in the moment. Because doesn't that feel like you can be so much more relaxed if you know that like you don't have to worry about, has this gone too far, because I'll let you know and then we can just talk about it and it'll be fine.
Yeah, dude. And I think that on the flip side, in instances where I felt like, this might resonate for you if this has ever happened, where it's like you go back in your mind, like an interaction you had with some friend, and then you're like, this, it like changed, like something happened, and like I didn't correct that. And then it's like you feel the distance, like you feel it, you know that like something stuck and you didn't mean it to stick, and you kind of want to go back, but then you don't know if you have that like level of transparency or trust between the two of you, that if you brought it up again, that person would be like, yeah, actually, that really did hurt me. Because a lot of the times, I think those of us who are raised and socialized as women and girls and hell, like femmes, like honestly, it's like brushing things off and being like nice and just being like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, is so, I don't know, pedestalized as like a response to like harm or discomfort or anything that's actually like against our, or counter to our boundaries or whatever, crossing boundaries. And so I've noticed in times where like I've feared, would that person bring it up? I don't know. Should I bring it up? And it's like this weird dance as opposed to like in the moment when it's happening to be able to be like, Kate, enough. And then it's like, you don't sit there thinking about it afterwards. And it doesn't create the distance between you because you're scared to bring it up with that person. And now you're on eggshells and now you're acting different and weird and shit.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. Do you have, I feel like everybody has this. I hope it's not just me, where just randomly you'll have like a memory flashback of like some moment that you find like really cringe. You're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. 100%. I can't believe I said that.
Yes.
So I have many of those moments. And when I think back to it, I don't think I have any about the moments where I've hurt somebody where they told me or we talked about it and we talked through it. They're all times where like I've said or done something and either at the moment or later, I feel like, oh, I don't think that went the way I intended, or I think I hurt that person, and it's never been addressed. Those are the ones that like stay with me and keep hurting me.
Yeah, dude. I totally relate to that. I think about shit that I've done wrong all the time. And you're right. It's like the ones where we were able to have that like generative conversation and actually like talk about it, I actually felt like, that's my bitch. Like, yeah, like it felt like a win, you know? It didn't actually feel as big and scary as it does in your mind afterwards when you were replaying the incident that honestly could either have gone as you remembered it and horrible and just left that bad taste in both of your mouths, or you could also just be like, you sensed it and what you didn't do was be like, hey, did I just cross a boundary? And if that person was like, oh my God, no, I don't give a shit. And it's like, wow, like what a freeing existence to live in after that fact, once you confirm, you know,
totally
where people are at. Yeah,
totally. So are there things that you've learned about yourself through conflicts that you've had with your close friends?
Not everybody is okay with conflict. Obviously myself included, like the fact that we're talking about this now. I mean, we haven't really had there's been times where we've been like frustrated with each other. There's been time, you know, like that,
but we've never expressed that. I think that's what's key, is like I feel like I can tell when you, I mean probably not always, but there's certainly been moments where I can tell that you're annoyed or frustrated or even maybe mad for a little bit, but you've never expressed that to me, and I don't think I've expressed that to you either, because I think, I don't know, I feel like we're weirdly similar in certain ways. And I feel like, at least from my side, it's felt like we both kind of know and we just sort of like,
what? It's just quiet shit. We don't talk about it.
Quiet. Move on.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is weird. Like, I feel like people who listen to this podcast would be surprised. I find it kind of surprising. I mean, I don't, because I know us both and I know how I am and I kind of feel similar vibes from you in a lot of ways, but I feel like for two very outspoken people, it's kind of weird that we have been so not expressive about that.
Yeah, I don't know what that says about us, and I don't really care to like explore that too much, but like I do agree it is interesting that like I can think about times when I've been like not even frustrated with you, but just like I wish that you would say something. I wish that you'd be like, hey, this is disappointing me. Because like that's what I would have needed in a moment, for example. And but at the same time, it's like it's my own forgetting something or not being prepared about something. And like it's usually about the podcast. Like it's honestly never really been about our personal lives. It's been by virtue of us like working together, which I also chalk up to like sometimes when you work with somebody, it's frustrating. Like,
yeah.
And it's never been a hindrance to us doing what we do well and enjoying it. Right. Like it'll be like every 12 instances where it's like a frustration. Or for example, when we were talking about planning for the podcast and we were talking about how like a process for getting like communication stuff in. And I was like, or you said, I don't know who went first, but it was like something, 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 you have to chase me for this thing. And you're like, yeah, I do. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that. Even like, I know it, I've known it, and I have to address it and take responsibility for the thing. And so I think back to your question, circling back, what have I learned? It's that I know with us, for example, we practice accountability to each other all the time because we're still in this relationship. Like we're still showing up with the same amount of love, if not more, for each other after years of being friends and working together in this capacity. Whereas I don't know, like sometimes there is that uncertainty around, like I said earlier, whether or not this person will actually take this, and that this information that I'm giving this person that's coming from a place of hurt a lot of the time, of crossed boundaries, you know, that vulnerable shit, if they're going to throw it back in my fucking face. And that's this hard thing to admit when it's like, oh, this is your friend, but you're scared that they might like admonish you or brush it off or be like, you are being too sensitive. And then where does that leave you, right? Like, that is that kind of door of no return where you just like don't know what to expect and you hope to know, right? But I have been in a few conflicts that ended up in, you know, the relationship ending. And it was because I was like being pushed and pushed and pushed. In one case, I've talked about it on this motherfucking podcast, the white woman who did not have the capacity to hear that she was complicit in anti-Black racism, and as were her friends. And it was like, no matter how I said it, and this is me being generous, right? Like, that was me being a generous person that was like, I'm not trying to attack you or your friends. I'm just letting you know how I felt. My experience was this, like being so over accountable, really. And this person still threw it in my face. I think that just is traumatic. Sometimes that means that we just don't trust our friends to like hold that. But what I was grateful for in that experience was that when I told other friends, they were like, absolutely fucking not. Intolerable end of friendship. Like, so many of my friends made me so happy and grateful for setting, almost like setting a boundary for me and being like, you are not talking to that bitch again. Like, you should not be friends with this person. And I was like, oh, my friends really do see how fucked up this situation is.
Definitely. And I can say that you can trust with me that I am really always open to having these conversations. That's something I'm proud of, is that I'm really open to hearing how I've hurt people and to working through it, even when it's scary. Because I feel like there is a really big cost when we don't, which is intimacy. I feel so much more close to the friends that I fought with or had some kind of like, you know, and fighting can look different in different relationships. Like, I have friends where it's a very just like calm, like, hey, can we talk about this thing that happened? I feel kind of hurt about this. Here's why. And I've had one friend in particular where it's more heated, which is harder for me.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I always feel a lot closer after. And I feel like there's a level of trust that comes from, because it's like you said, like, I've had those experiences too, where it's like you're vulnerable enough to share that something's hurtful to you, and they respond by like ending the friendship. And that's like, that makes it really scary and not feel like it's maybe worth the risk.
Yeah.
But when you do take that risk and you find that person is able to meet you in it, it's like there is this trust between you that like really helps to further that intimacy and make it easier the next time. Because, you know, even us having this conversation now, if there is another time where something's hurtful to me, I feel like I kind of know what to expect from you.
Yes. And it sets us up for success for next time, where it's like it becomes like the well-oiled machine of like, oh, I'm accountable to you. Look, I'm not trying to hurt you. It doesn't matter about my intention. I hurt you. Like, how can I make sure that I don't do that in the future? And yeah, you're totally right. Like, the cost of intimacy is such a significant one. And we oftentimes don't know it until we don't have it anymore. It's not something that you can kind of quantify as it. I mean, sometimes you're like, this feels so good being in this conversation. This person's close to me. I trust them. But when we don't have that anymore, and you're kind of like looking back at the memories almost as like, oh, we used to be so much closer, and then this thing happened, and like, I missed that, but I don't know how to go back to it. It's honestly heartbreaking. And I wanted to ask the question back to you is like, what have you learned about conflict and like your propensity to tolerate it? I know you just said like you feel proud of yourself for being capable and really inviting folks to let you know when you've caused them harm. But what are you learning? What have you learned? What have you unlearned even?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned just a lot of skills to be able to tolerate those feelings, that tolerate the fear of hurting somebody or what they might say to me, and tolerate the fear of saying something that could potentially upset somebody else. You know, I'm still obviously always learning and unlearning those things, but that's been huge for me. And then I've learned a lot about myself and how I am and how I'm perceived, how I come across, how I affect others through conflict. Like one of my friends, they felt like, so when I used to really have a hard time even knowing within myself when I was angry, or when something, you know, hurt me, I just was really raised in a very like, either there was no conflict and like nobody talked about their feelings, or it was like explosions of temper.
Right.
So those extremes are like not great. And I had one friend who, you know, a lot of my friends tend to be a bit more on the avoidant side because I'm a bit more on the avoidant side. And so I have one friend who's much more on the opposite end of the spectrum. And so there was more kind of like friction because my sort of like avoidant patterns and my patterns of like, this doesn't feel great, so I'm just going to kind of pull away a bit, really triggered them and upset them. And it was really hard for me at first to understand that because I didn't even realize I was doing it. Like, I was just sort of like, what is your problem? Like, I am being perfectly nice, right. You know, like my tone of voice is even. I have a, you
that
know,
was
like,
the barometer, hey, right. Yeah.
Well, because I was raised with such a, like, you be polite and respectful no matter what.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you're feeling, doesn't matter what's happening. You be polite, you be respectful.
Right.
And so I'd be feeling all this stuff on the inside, but I would be keeping everything polite and respectful on the outside.
But then what it would actually translate to is you're like pulling away and this person is like, yo, what the fuck? Why are you doing this kind of thing?
Yeah. Right. And I just really didn't get it. And because I didn't really understand that like when you're angry or upset inside, even if you're not saying it, it's felt. Like we're just saying to each other, like we've been able to tell
yes,
when the other person is frustrated yes. with us or whatever, mm-hmm. but we've never said it.
Yeah.
It's felt.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that was such an invaluable lesson for me because it's allowed me, first of all, to understand that and understand how I'm impacting people. But it was also one of the biggest kind of jumping off points for me to connect with my own anger because they really pushed me to have to figure out and admit, actually, there is something wrong. I'm not even admitting it to myself.
Right. It's like a gift, right? Where you don't realize that the way that somebody else is like, you know, you have an avoidant personality type when it comes to conflict and somebody else is like kind of walking towards it and is like almost poking you like, what's wrong? Like, what's up? Why yeah. are you? And you're like, leave me the fuck alone. Like, I'm just trying exactly. to like mind my own business. You're the one who pissed me off. And it's like when you're able to sit there and be like, oh, this person is unaware of how they've hurt me because I'm not communicating when they have hurt me. And there's something about that. Another thing that I've learned that builds off what you just said is like that I have to be responsible for communicating my needs to other people.
Yeah.
And so like in the example that I gave you about like facial expressions, if you don't know something or whatever, it's like, it has never been something that's like gotten in the way of our friendship. But if it did get in the way of our, you know, if it was something that was like, oh my God, every time I talk to you, you say this thing or it's making me feel whatever. It's like, it's my responsibility. I deeply believe this. Like as much as it's your responsibility to like be attuned to our body language and like, you know, that embodied knowledge of like, oh, you've hurt me. I hope that we would both be there together. I should, and it's my responsibility too, I think, communicate like, that's enough. Like, that's not okay. Like, I don't like that. And I think that I have also learned that like, not all of us know how to do that in ways that still straddle holding on to the friendship and holding on to the love and all the good things. That relationship and holding on to it can be really tricky, especially if you don't have models for how to do that.
Totally. So our BIPOC of the week is Issa Rae because really? Of, oh. yeah, her depiction of Issa and Molly's friendship on Insecure. And without any spoilers, it's just been this incredibly complex representation of a friendship between two women, two Black women, where it is, you know, they love each other so much. They show up for each other in so many ways. They're so messy sometimes. They say all the wrong things to each other sometimes. They don't say what they should say. they've had conflicts that they've come through, conflicts that have been harder, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just been really always so beautiful and so helpful to see that reflection of how complicated and how important our friendships are.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm so glad that you picked this. That's such a great BIPOC of the week because, yeah, that like the way that Molly and Issa navigate their friendship with so much honesty, with so much like, they're just really, I don't know. I mean, also like Yvonne and Issa are like friends in real life, which is like, it's great because you're like, oh, it translates. They're actually like spend time with each other. But watching that is such a great model for, first of all, what not to do sometimes, but also like what valuing the relationship really looks like. It's like they always come back to each other. Like that being like the cornerstone of whatever it is like they're gonna fight. They're gonna like talk about it. They're gonna be mad at each other. They're gonna be super like messy, like you said, but they're always able to say like, bitch, I love you, you know? And I think that that's something that like we could all in some respects learn from is to be like, I love this person, but I'm going to tell this person. And as the receiver of that information, it's like, wow, what a gift. Like, fuck you, but also thank you, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of my favorite things was, okay, this is a slight spoiler for like end of season one, beginning of season two.
We're
if
not
you haven't
sorry.
Watched this yet, it's like, fault, you know? This is your fault. I'm sorry. Yes. Or you can, you know, skip ahead, turn it off now.
Bye.
But after they have like, a, you know, a lot has gone unsaid and then they have kind of a big conflict and get through it when they go on this, you know, trip to Malibu. And then after that, whenever they need to say something to the other that's like kind of a hard truth, but they just want to like clear the air, they say Malibu and then they say
maybe.
It.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you and I just like need a code word for like when we're going to be like, okay, like moment of immediacy. It's coming, but it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it.
Totally. Yeah. Malibu, man. Like that was dope. I really, really... Yeah, fuck. That's such a great BIPOC of the week. Thank you for bringing that in because, like, that brings it full circle. And it, again, highlights the, like, why we're doing this approach to the podcast. It's really about the relationship. And, like, I don't know. Yes. This has been a cute episode because we get to, like, be us. And it's more about, like, giving folks that in to, like, us as friends. So...
Yeah, and it gives us kind of an in for each other. So exactly. Thank you for having this conversation with me because I keep saying it, but I just feel a lot closer to you already just from having that one like example each that we talked through. So I really appreciate you.
Ditto. Love you.
Love you.
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.